Today's daf is Yud Tes Samed Aleph, and we'll start from the top of the page. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. So we've had a whole string of statements of Rabbi Yirmiya. Here's the next one. Bo re'e shalok midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas basav adam. Midas basav adam mischayev adam hariga lamalchus matililo chaka l'soch piv. A person who was sent to his death because of a sin against the king, against the human king, they will put a piece of wood into his mouth that makes it impossible for him to speak. Kidei shelo yikalel es hamelech, lest he curse the king who has condemned him to death. But midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu adam ha-mischayev hariga l'makom, if we're talking about a Jew who unfortunately was condemned to death, nevertheless, shosek, he doesn't blaspheme against God. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, l'cha dumia tehila, that everyone is domim. Domim means shosek, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lo od, Ela Mishabeach, he even praises God. Shenemar Tehila, in this pasuk, the word Tehila, which means praise. V'lo'od Ela Shedomelo, that these Yisurim, the suffering that are going to come upon him, he accepts it upon himself with love, Ke'ilu Makriv Karban, as if he's giving himself as a karban. We know that in general, in karbanos, we view the animal that's being brought on the Mizbeach as if it was him. Here it's actually him. He's being brought on the Mizbeach. Shenemar, and it says there in that Pasuk in Tehillim, Ulecha Yeshuam Neder, that for you I will fulfill this obligation. And Hainu Diomer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsiv, what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Ovrei bi'emek habocha mayan yishisiu gam brochos ya'atem mora. The Pasuk says those who pass through the valley of the bocha trees, transform it to a wellspring. Also the early rain cloaks it with blessings. Now the Gemara is going to interpret this Pasuk, which appears in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, Ovrei, those who pass, Elu b'nei Adam sha'ovrim ha'ritzona shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are those who violate the will of God. And the Pasuk says that Omek, right, b'emek ha'brocha, Omek, Shemamikim lahem Gehenom. Those who violate the will of God, Gehenom deepens for them. So that when a man sins, he is overwhelmed by temptation, he's punished. But let's say, for example, in a case of someone who has wholesale disregard for God's will, for his moral values, so that's a much more profound kind of sin, and that's indicated by the word omek. And the corresponding punishment, mida keneged mida, is the omek, the deepening of Gehenom. And then the Pasuk says, ha-bocha, which is a bocha trees. Shebochim, the word bocha in this case, comes from the word boche, umoridim tmos kemayin shel shitim. So it means that the person who is now condemned to death is doing tshuva, and he's crying out to Hashem. And the word shisim means a wellspring of tears in this case. Also, the word shisim is used on the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash when they poured the Nesachim. So went down these shisim. And this also is a reflection of the concept that we saw earlier, that Dome lo ki'ilu makriv karban. It's as if he's giving himself up as a sacrifice. And Gam, the pasuk continues and says, Gam brachos ya'ate mora, which we said means that the early rains cloaks it with blessings. And we said that that means shematzdikin aleihem es hadin. They accept upon themselves the judgment of God for their sins. V'yomer lefanav, they say, Ribono shel olam, Yofa danta, yofa zachisa, yofa chiyavta, yofa tikanta, gehenem l'rishoyim, v'gan eden l'tzadikim. Ribono shel olam, you've judged properly. You acquit those who are innocent properly. You convict those who are guilty properly. You have properly prepared gehenem for the evildoers, and gan eden for the righteous. So the entire pasuk, therefore, expresses the idea of tzidduk hadin, when man accepts upon himself the judgment. And therefore, instead of chas v'shalom cursing and blaspheming God, he accepts the judgment and the evil that befalls him because of the evil that he perpetrated. And all this will support the statement of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Belozer that evildoers praise the righteousness of divine Hashem. And this is, again, the concept of tzidduk hadin. My Rebbe used to always say that the essence of Tisha B'Av, of Tisha B'Av is tzidduk hadin. When we recite that the pasuk that God, you are righteous. So the Gemara now asks the following question. Eini, is it so that the evildoers who are judged to go to Gehenna are matzdik es hadin, va'omer Rav Shimon ben Lakish, rishoyim afilo al pischo shel Gehenna einim chozim b'tshuva, the evildoers, even when they're about to enter into Gan Eden, they've been condemned to go to Gehenna, they still resist doing tshuva. Shenemar, Reish Lakish derives this from a pasuk in Yeshayo. It says, "V'yotzu v'ro befigre hanoshim aposhim bi," and they shall go out and see the corpses of men who sin against me. And the rest of the pasuk says, "Ki so altam lo somus v'isham lo sichbe," that the worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So Yeshayo HaNavi is saying that they continue in their evil. And the diuk here in the pasuk is from the grammatical form of poshim. It doesn't say sheposhu in Lashon Avar, as if in the past they had sinned. El poshim, that even now, poshim v'holchim li'olam, even in the present they continue to sin continuously, li'olam, forever. And therefore, even though the toloim, the worms that are mentioned in the pasuk, are crawling in and out of their basar, and the fire is burning them, nevertheless, they refuse to be chozer b'tshuva. So the Gemara answers lo kasha. Ha, that which we saw in Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, that the Rishoyim in Gehenom are matzdik es hadin, and they accept God's just judgment and justice, that's b'poshe Yisrael, that's sinners of Israel. Ha, that which Reish Lakish said, that the Rishoyim refuse to do tshuva, even when they're on the gateway into Gehenna, that's Beposhe Ovdei Kochav. Those are the sinners of non-Jews. Now, this whole Gemara that we learned reflects a principle that even in Gehenna, even after death, a person can still do tshuva. His nefesh, experiencing the fires of Gehenna, can do tshuva. But the Poshe Yisrael, based on this pasuk in Yeshaya, are not willing to do tshuva even when they're at the entranceway into Gehenna. Hachinam mistabra. The Gemara wants to bring a support for this distinction. And Reish Lakish is talking about Poshe Ovdei Kochavim. Dim Kain, if you would apply Rav Shimon Lakish's statement even to Poshe Yisrael, as Kasha the Reish Lakish of the Reish Lakish, there would be an inner contradiction between two statements of Reish Lakish. The Amar Reish Lakish, Poshe Yisrael, Ein Ur Gehenim Sholetes Bahem. The fire of Gehenim does not control them. There's no ascendancy over the sinners over Israel, of amongst Israel. Again, this doesn't mean that there's no Gehenim and there's no fire, but what it means is it won't take complete hold of them. And Reish Lakish derives this from a Kal v'chomer Mizbeach Hazov. The Mizbeach Hazov was inside the Heichal, and it was made of gold. Ma Mizbeach Hazov she'ein alav ela ka'ofi ovi dinar zahav. The covering over the Mizbeach of gold was only a dinar's thickness of gold, which is very limited. And even though they burnt the ketores and the fire on the Mizbeach on a daily basis, nevertheless, Omad Kamashonim, it persisted many years, Velo Sholta Baha'ur, and the fire did not ruin that thin layer of gold. This was a great miracle. And nothing was missing from that gold covering over the Mizbeach. But Poshe Yisrael, Shemaleim mitzvos kirimon, that even though they're guilty of certain sins, but nevertheless they're full of mitzvos, they have many merits. And this we derive from a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. It says, with regard to the Raya, that's the beloved who represents Knesset Yisrael, it says, kifelach harimon rakasich, like a piece of pomegranate are your temples. And Omer Reish Lakish, Al Tikri, don't read it, Rakaseich, your temples, Ella, Rekaseich, your empty ones. And the Pasuk is coming to praise those members of Klal Yisrael that are Afilu Rekonim Shabach, so to speak, the empty ones, meaning they're the Poshe Yisrael, nevertheless, Maleim Mitzvos Karimon. They still are full of mitzvos like the seeds of a pomegranate. Is Alachas Kama Vakama, certainly they should not be burnt by the fire, completely destroyed by the fire of Gehenna. So since Reish Lakish says that Ein Eish Sholetes BePoshe Yisrael, we're not going to be able to say that when he darshens that Pasuk in Yeshayo, and he says that even when they go down to Gehenna, they're still insisting on sin, they're not willing to be penitent. It cannot be referring to Poshe Yisrael, because there it says in that Pasuk in Yeshaya that the Eish of Gehenna will completely destroy the evildoers. It must be referring to Poshe Ovdei Kochavim. El Hadich Siv Ovrei B'Emek HaBocha. And now the Gemara wants to clarify the statement of Reish Lakish that the Eish of Gehenna is not does not control or take hold of the Poshe Yisrael. But it says Ovrei B'Emek HaBocha, and that Reish Lakish admits refers to Poshe Yisrael that are judged for Gehenna. And Ovrei B'Emek HaBocha, as we said before, means they go down deep, deep, deep down to the depths of Gehenna. So Moran says, Ha, who the pasuk has in mind, the Mechayve Hahi Shaito Begehenna. That even though at that moment when they sin, they are condemned to Gehenna, but nevertheless, Asi Avram Avinu Umasik Lehu, Avram Avinu is going to bring them up from Gehenna, Makabal Lehu. What does it mean, Umakabal Lehu? He receives them. He's Mala Osam Yisham Umakablam. Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a Kabbalah's Ponim. These are Jews who went down to Gehenna, mind you. Bar Mi Yisrael Sheba Al Bas Ovi Kochav. The only sinner who is so guilty of a crime that's so heinous that Avraham Avinu is not interested in being mekabel them from Gan Eden, and that's the pasuk of Ovrei B'Emek HaBocha, is Yisrael Shebal Bas Ovei Kochavim. And if a Jew has a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, then Moshcha or Losa. Now, I don't know if we could take this literally, but the translation is, she draws his foreskin over his circumcision to hide his Jewish identity. Velo mevashker le. And Avraham Avinu cannot recognize this person as a Jew in order to take him out of Gehenna, because he's similar to a man who was never circumcised. And in such a case, he's condemned to Gehenna until he pays up his full debt, and Avraham Avinu is not going to take him out of Gehenna prematurely, because he's not recognizable as a Jew, because he has dedicated himself to this kind of lifestyle of Baal Albas Ovei Kochavim. Now that we've clarified that Reish Lakish holds that Rishoyim, who don't do tshuva, even on the Pesach Shel Gehenna, and that's a reference to the Poshe Akum, Maskifla Rav Kahana Hashtu Di Amritcha HaPoshim, De Poshe V'Ozle, who continue in their evil ways and they refuse to do tshuva, is that's what the word poshim means, because the word poshim, as we said, was in the Lashon Hove in the present tense, Elamei Ata Dechsiv, when it says in Parshas Emor, it says, Hamotzi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim Lios Lachem Elokim, again Hamotzi, and then it says, Ki Ani Hashem HaMa'aleh Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. In both of these cases, the Pasuk uses the present tense, Hamotzi, now, and Ma'aleh, who takes you up now. Shall we interpret it to Masik Umafiklu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now presently taking us up from Mitzrayim? Certainly, we have no possibility of saying so. Ela, the Asik V'Afik. But rather, it means that in the past, he's taken us up and taken us out of Mitzrayim. It's Okinami. Here too, when it says in the Pasuk, Vayetsu V'ro B'figrei Anoshim HaPoshim Bi, it doesn't mean that now they are sinning against me, but rather, D'Poshe Hu, meaning in the past tense, they are guilty of sin. But we should not derive from this that Rishoyim, even when they're on the Pesach of Gehenna after death, they still refuse to do tshuva. So therefore, Rav Kahana, who's asking this question and raising this objection, he would not darshan from the Pasuk that it's referring to Rishoyim that don't do tshuva in Gehenna. And therefore, it could be, according to Rav Kahana, that even Poshe Ovdei Kochavim, the subject of that Pasuk, would be Matzdik Elei Mesadin once they suffer Gehenna, the fires of Gehenna. V'Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu ban Eloza Shlosha Psochim Yesh LeGehenna. There are three gateways into Gehenna on this globe. Echad B'Midbar, one in the desert. Echad Bayam, one in the waters, V'echad B'Yushalayim, one in the entrance to Yushalayim. And now we're going to derive each of these three from Pesukim. Bamidbar Dechsiv, it says with regard to the parish of Korach, V'tiftach ha'aretz es piyo v'tivlo som v'es boteim v'es kol ha'om asher l'korach v'es kol ha'rechush. And then it says, V'yerdu heim v'chol asher lehem chayim sha'olah. Sha'olah means Gehenna. And Korach v'adosa went down through this sha'ol into Gehenna. And that's the opening somewhere in the Midbar, which swallowed up Korach into Gehenna. Bayom, Dichsiv, it says in Yonah, at the time that Yonah was inside this gigantic fish, it says, Vayoma Karasi Mitzorah Li El Hashem Vayaneni Bi Beten Sha'ol Shivati Shamata Koli. Again, the word Sha'ol, which is a reference to Gehenna. And we're talking about Yonah, who was swallowed up in the sea by the great fish. So we see that the kinui for that place in the Yam is called Sha'ol because it's a Pesach to Gehenna. Again, it's very difficult to understand this because that fish that swallowed up Yonah was actually protecting Yonah and would eventually put him back on dry land. So Beten Sha'ol, that he's crying out from Beten Sha'ol, is a reference to Gehenna. That's a little bit difficult. Anyway, the third Pesach is B'Yerushalayim. And here the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi. Dichsiv Ni'um Hashem, the word of God, Asher Ur Lo, he has a fire B'Tzion in Zion, V'Tanur Lo B'Yerushalayim, and there's a furnace in Yerushalayim, V'Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Asher Urlo B'Tzion, that fire in Zion is a reference to Gehenna. V'Tanur Lo B'Yerushalayim is a Pischa Shel Gehenna. So we see that Gehenna has a Pesach somewhere on the entranceway into Yerushalayim. Later on we'll see that Gan Eden only has one Pesach. Very strange that Gehenna has three Pesachim and Gan Eden only has one Pesach. Anyway, we'll get to that if we can. So the Gemara asks for Su Leka. Are you telling me that there are only two entranceways into Gehenna in this globe, on this earth? For Amar Rab Merion, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Yamrele, Tanab Rabba Bar Merion, Bidabei Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakeh, and the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakeh, Shteit Moros. There are two Atze Dekel, two palms. Yesh Bi, in a place that's close to Yerushalayim, and it's called Ge Ben Hinom. And what is unique about this pair of Atze Dekel? Ola Oshem Mibeinehem. There's a smoke that comes up from the ground between them. Vizuhi Sheshaninu Sine Hara Barzel Ksheros. This is a sugya in Masechta Sukkah about whether or not you're allowed to take a kosher lulav from Gei Ben Hinom, which is a lulav that grows Bitsine Hara Barzel. This is called the palms of the Iron Mountain, and they're kosher for a lulav. And that's Pischa Vizui, Pischa Shel Gehenna. So we have at least a fourth opening to Gehenna. How can you tell me there are only three? So the Gemara asks, Dilma Hainu de Yushalayim. That's exactly what Rabbi Yirmiyahu was referring to as the Pesach in Yushalayim. So this is not an additional Pesach. Now the Gemara goes into detail about Gehenom. Om Rav Yeshu ben Levi, Shiva Shemos Yeshla L'Gehenom Ve'eluhim. There are seven names for Gehenom. Sha'ol V'Avadon U'Be'er Shachas U'Bar Sha'on V'Tit Hayaven V'Tzalmoves V'Eretz HaTachtis. And now the Gemara proves from Psukim each one of these seven names of Gehenom. Sha'ol D'Chsiv, it says by Yonah, as we saw early, Mibeten Sha'ol Shivati Shamata Koli. It's a little bit strange that the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yonah and not the Pasuk in Chumash by Korach in Vatiftach Ha'aretz Espia. There it says, Vayerdu Heim V'chol Asher Lehem Chaim Sha'ola, meaning two Sha'ol. So you see that Sha'ol is Gehenom. I don't know why the Gemara to fast forward to the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Avadon, Dechsiv Hayisupar, Pasuk in Tilim Hayisupar, Bakever, Chazdecha Munoscha, Be'avadon. Can your kindness be recounted in the grave, your faithfulness in annihilation? And we see clearly, can you speak or describe the praises of God when you're in the grave, be'avadon. So we see that avadon is a reference, otherwise translated in English as annihilation, to Gehenna. Be'er shachas, d'chsiv, there in the pasuk, in the same Tehillim, but not in the same pasuk, but in a different chapter, until it says, Ki lo sazov nafshi l'sha'ol, you will not abandon my soul to Sha'ol. Lo siten chasidecha l'ros shachas, you will not allow your devout ones to witness the destruction. And that means that David HaMelech expresses his reliance upon God, that God will not forsake him and allow him to go down to Sha'ol and to Shachas. So again, even though it doesn't say Be'er Shachas, but nevertheless, the word Shachas here is a reference to Be'er Shachas. Rashi says that Shachas u Be'er Shachas Dover Echad Heim, they're one and the same. Bar, and how do we know that one of the names of Bar Sha'on, actually, one of the names of Gehenim is Bar Sha'on, and it says, and v'tit ha'yavad d'chsiv, David HaMelech again is praising Hashem in Tehillim. He says, v'yaleni, and God, you have raised me up, mi bar, from the pit, Sha'on, again, Sha'on seems to mean turbulent waters, mi tit ha'yavad, from quicksand. These are all references to Sha'ol, and David is praising God for saving him from going down to Gehenom. And then Tzalmoves, Dechsiv, Yoshve Choshech V'Tzalmoves, those who live in darkness and in the shadow of death, those are the ones who dwell in Gehenom. So you see the Gehenom is called Tzalmoves. V'Eretz HaTachtis, we don't have a pasuk as a source for the underworld, but Gemarahu, this was a tradition that was passed down through the generations, that Eretz HaTachtis is another name for Gehenom. Gemara says, V'sulek, are there only seven names for Gehenom? V'ha'ika Gehinom. What about Gehenom itself? That's another name for Gehenom, and it's not on the list of the seven. Why didn't Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi count Gehenom? That would jack up the number to eight. And the word Gehinom is no trikin for Gehinom. Geh, Shamuka, that is very deep. Kigai, Gai is a ravine. And Hinom is Shakol Yored La Al Iske Hinom, or some of the girsa here, Chinom, which has to do with arayos, with sexual immorality. The Gemara asks, what about another name that I could add? Va'ika Tofta, Tofteh. And this is a pasuk in Yeshaya about Sancheiriv Dechsiv, Ki Aruch Me'asmol Tofne, Gamhula Melchu Chan, Hemikir Chiv, etc., etc. And the meaning of this pasuk, it refers to Gehenom. And let me read the translation of the pasuk here. It says, just one second, I'm sorry, the lighting here is not so good. One split second here. It says that for Tofteh was ordained from yesterday. Gehenna was created on the second of the 6 days of creation. Heaven and earth were completed on the third day of creation. So from the context of this verse, it is evident that the reference is to Gehenna. And the entire verse reads, for Tofteh was ordained from yesterday. It was prepared for the king. He deepened it. He widened it. Its conflagration is that much of fire and wood. And the breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, kindles it. All this conflagration is referring to Gehenna. And it's called here Tifteh. So where it says, Ahu, that name Tifteh, is only a pseudo-name, it's not a real name. Shekol ha-mispata b'yitro yipol sham. It's only indicating that those who are seduced by the evil inclination, they will fall into Gehenna. Gan Eden, how many openings are there to Gan Eden? Omre Shlokish, im the Eretz Yisrael, who, if he's in Eretz Yisrael, then he will find Gan Eden in Beit Shan. Just one second. In Beit Shan. Beit Shan is a place where the fruits are very, very sweet. And that's the Pischo Shel Gan Eden. V'im Ba'aravya, in a place called Aravya, then he should look for it in Beis Gorem. That's where the Pesach is, because there also there are very sweet fruits in Aravya. V'im Bein HaNahoros, if he's amongst the rivers, then he should find the Pesach of Gan Eden in a place that's called Dumaskeninon, Shu Pischo. Again, that's where, amongst these rivers, he will find these very beautiful fruits. And Bibavel, if he's in Bavel, Abai Mishtabach Biperi Demavar Yemino. He was Mishabach the Peros on the southern side of the Euphrates. Rav Mishtabach Biperi Deharpanya. Rav would praise the fruits of Harpanya, another place. So we see here that this whole discussion is about locating the Pesach of Gan Eden if he's in Bavel. And if you want to find the exact location, it really depends upon this machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Now at this point, we are actually ending the Agadata, making a siyum on the Agadata, and we are returning to Halacha. And we saw in the Mishnah that to set up Pasi Biros, allowing you to take water from the bar to the outskirts and draw it outside, you need these Dumadim that are situated on the four corners. Ubeinam Kimlo Shite Ravkos, Shal Shalosh Shalosh Baka de Rameir, Rav Yudomir, Shal Arba Kshuros Velo Mutaros. So the Gemara now wants to know, why does the Mishnah have to use this extra language? Kshuros velo mutaros. The cows are tied together when you measure the area between the dimadim. Pshita kevin the tunnel the kshuros. If you're telling me that they were tied together, hava, they were tied. So hananya dinin de lo avi mutaros. Will we not know that they weren't loose? Mutaros means that they're not tied one to the other. Mao detem, I might think that when the Tani uses the word kshuros, it's ke'en kshuros. It means they're near each other, but they don't have to be tied one to the other. Well, mamish lo, kamash malom velo mutaros, to tell me that when we're measuring the width, the open space between the two pasi beros, then we need ravkos, these pairs of animals that are kshuros mamish, has to be kshuros. The Mishnah says, achas nichneses vi achas yotzes, that we have one pair that goes in and one pair goes out. And that again is a kula because it allows a little bit more space. Tana, we learned in a brisa that how do we evaluate these two ravakos, these two pairs, and the revach between the two dimodim? Is Rivka Nichneses v'Rivka Yotzes. In other words, not an individual cow that goes in and a cow that goes out. That's impossible because we're talking about kshuros. So every group, whether it's made up of three cows or four cows, is tied together. So it must be Rivka, which is the pair, the group that's tied together, that goes in and the other one goes out. V'kama, the Braisa asks the question, Tana Rabbana Kama, Rosha V'ruba Shel Paro. We said that the minimum amount of space that's necessary between the pasim has to be enough for most of a cow with its head and its body to go in there. How much is that? Shtei Amos. So the pasim, these four pasim, can come close enough to the bar up to, but not beyond Shtei Amos. There's got to be a minimum of 2 amos distance between the bar of water and the pasim. And the Mishnah tells us that the space between the pasim, the dimadim, is up to shtei ravkos, that means 2 pairs of cows, kama ovya shel para. What is the width of a para, meaning if you would measure the shoulder to shoulder of the para, Ama ushne shlishe ama, 1 2/3 of an ama. And now we turn to the Afyut Tesam in Beisha Hain, ke eser divrei Rabbi Meir. That comes up to 10 amos. Why? Because Rabbi Meir says you have 6 paros. So you have an ama and shne shlish. So you multiply the ama by 6, you get 6 amos. And then shne shlish, 2/3 of the 4 remaining, of the 6 remaining, will give you 4. So we add the 4 to the 6, and we get 10. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he has 4 paros, not 3 paros. Is therefore kishloshesre ama uke arbasre ama. So each ravka of 4 paros, and you have 2 ravkos, would come up to 13 1/3 amma. So the Gemara says, and it's very strange, the Braisa says, Kamiya, it says, Ke Eser Amos. What is Ke Eser Amos? So Eser Hamin, it's exactly, if you take 6 paros, you multiply it by 1 2/3, you get exactly 10 amos. So why do you say Ke? And the Gemara answers, Mishum de Kabay le Misne Seifa, when it comes to Rabbi Yehuda, and he's calculating 4 cows in each Ravka, then it says Kishloshisre. Why do you say Kishloshisre? Because in fact it's more than Shloshisre, it's 13 1/3. So once he says Kishloshisre in the Seifa, so he also uses the word ke'eser in the Reisha to maintain symmetry between the Reisha and the Seifa. So the Gemara says, kishloshesrei amos tfei havyon. It's more than 13 amo. So why do you say it's almost 13 amo? So the answer is Mishum Deboy Lemisne Ke Arbaasre. He says it's like 13 amos, it's like 14 amos, meaning Ke Arbaasre Lo Havya, it's not 14 amos, and it's not 13 amos, it's somewhere between 13 amos, but it doesn't reach 14 amos. Omra Papa Yeseros Al Shloshisre, it's more than 13 amos, but Eno Magios Larbaasre. It doesn't reach 14 because it's only 13 and a third. Now the Mishnah, at the beginning of that parak on Yud Zayin, quotes a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that between the Dumadim, we have to set up Pshutim, four Pshutim, whereas Rabbi Yehuda denies it. He says all you have to have is four Dumadim, four Dumadim on the four corners. No need to add the passive in between the dimimodim. And now Rav Papa is going to address three different scenarios, and he's going to whittle down the machlokas, the battleground between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. The nafkamina between them is one of these three. In the two extremes, there's no machlokas. Omer Rav Papa, Bibar Shmone. If the width of the cistern of water or the spring of water is 8 amos, is the Kuli Amalo Pligi de Lo Be'inim Pshutim? In such a case, even Rabbi Meir would agree that all you need is Dumadim, you don't need Pshutim between the Dumadim. Why is that? Because if you calculate the distance from the bar to each one of the sides, and you need Kidei Rosha Varuba Shalpar, which we said was Shtei Amos, and it turns out now that the Chalal, the empty space between the mechitzos, is going to be Shtei Misrei Amos, correct? Because what you have is, you have a bar that is 8 Amos wide, correct? And now you need the 2 Amos on each side for the para, because the Rosh HaVeruva Shel Para is Shtei Amos. So now, what you have is that the area between the mechitzos is Shtemisrei Amo. Now, although you have 2 plus 2 plus 8, which is 12 Amos, but nevertheless, keep in mind that each one of the Yumadim has a width of 1 Amo. So 1 Amo on each side. That is going to reduce the distance between the dumadim, between the corners of 12, down to 10. And Rav Papa says that if the distance is 10, then even Rabbi Meir says there's no need to add pasim. So that's the case where everybody agrees that there's no need to add pshutim. Now we have a case where everybody agrees that you must add pshutim. Bar shtemesre, if the width of the well is 12 amos, kuli amalo pligi de be'inim pshutim, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree in this case you need pshutim. Why? Because when he's marchik from the bar on each side, which is kidei rosha v'ruba shel para, which is 2 amos, then you add to the 12 amos of the width of the bar, 2 amos on each side, and you end up with a width of 16 amos. That's 12 plus 2 plus 2 is 16. And if that be the case, then even if you subtract the two amos of the dumadim, the width of the dumadim, one dumad on one side and one on the other, that's one amma plus one amma, you end up with 14 amos. And Rabbi Yehuda would agree that if the distance between one pas and another is 14 amos, then you have what's called a pirtzi. You have to fill in that pirtzi with pasim pshutim. Ki pligi, where is the machlokas? Mishmona viad shtemisre. If the width of the well is more than 8, but less than 12, the Rabbi Meir binum pshutim, the Rabbi Yehuda lo binum pshutim. Because anywhere between 8 and 12 is going to give you a distance which is more than 10 amos, but less than 13 amos. So the Gemara says, Rav Papa Maika Mashmalon, is Rav Papa trying to tell me just one second, Nina. Oh, yeah. Is Rav Papa coming to tell me that the width of each of the paros is an amma and shnei shlish, 1 2/3 of an amma, in order to calculate how many amos there would be according to Rabbi Meir, who has two ravkos of 3 cows, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, who has 2 ravkos of 4 cows? So the chiddush of Rav Papa is that the width of a cow is 1 2/3 amma. Is my kamashman tanina? We already have that in the brisa. And the Gemara answers, Rav Papa brisa lo shmile. Rav Papa was unaware of this brisa, and with his own holy wisdom, he came up with the idea that the shear of rochav hapara is 1 2/3 amma. Is kamashman kibraisa? And what we see in Rav Papa is really what we found in a brisa, but Rav Papa was unaware of that brisa. And the brisa taught us, if you recall, that rosha v'ruba shel para is shte amos, and the rochav of the para, the width of a para, is an amma and 2/3. Okay, we're going to skip the mnemonic device. Boy mine abaye mi rabba. Abaye asked a question from his Rebbe Rava. In a case where the opening between the dumadim is more than 10 amos, does he have to absolutely, according to Rabbi Meir, add pasim, which we call pshutim? Or is it possible of herech bidumadim kishir pshutim? Right, the pshutim, each one have a width of an amma. Can he simply extend those posts, those tablets that he set up as dumadim, instead of having the width of one amma, to extend it to 2 ammos? And if he does that on both sides, then he's going to have 2 ammos on the right side, 2 ammos on the left side, which means 4 ammos, and therefore the distance between the end of the dumadim on both sides, right? That open area will be 10 amos. And there's no need now for pshutim, the Rabbi Meir mouth. In other words, does he dafka have to have pshutim, or just is it sufficient that he closes the gap between the dumadim, that it shouldn't be more than 10 amos, and he could do that by extending the dumadim? Amalei, so Rabbi responds to Abayt Nisua. In fact, we can derive a conclusion for your question from a careful reading of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that you're allowed to expand the distance between the one dumad and the other, bilvad sheyarbe bepasim. Now, what does it mean, yarbe bepasim? We thought it meant to add the pshutim. My lav demarich bidumadim, that he can extend the dumadim and make them twice as wide as they are. Instead of one amma width, there'll be 2 ammas of width. Lo, so the Gemara says, what do you mean? Just because it says marbe bepasim, it means that he extends the dumadim de mafish viovit pshutim. He's going to add extra tablets, extra planks of wood, which are called pasim. Ah, oh, says the Gemara, this was Rabbah's diuk, hachi. If that would be the case, is high, why does it say in the Mishnah? Ubilvad sheyarbe bipasim. It should say sheyarbe pasim. What's bipasim? The extra base. It should have said miboile at sheyarbe pasim. He has got to add new pasim. He's got the four pasim, and now he's going to have to add pasim in between each one of the four pasim. So the Gemara says, Tni ad sheyarbe pasim, that the right girsa in the Mishnah should be yarbe pasim without the beis. Ika diamri, another transmission of this very dialogue between Rabbah and Abaye. Omer le, Rabbah said to Abaye, in response to Abaye's question, to Nisua, we'll derive this from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Muta laharche kol shu bilvad sheyarbe bepasim, my love, demapish, the Ovid Pshutim. Doesn't it mean that he's adding tablets in between each of the Dumodim? Lo, the Marech B'Dumodim, it could be that what the Mishnah has in mind is not that he's adding separate Pasim in the middle, but rather he's extending the Dumodim. Hachidav Mestabin, that makes more sense. Why? I mean, Iktonia Bilvachi Arba Bipasim, Shmamina. Bipasim means ribui, to expand the width of the pasim. So at the end of the day, you know, if you had a quiz question on an exam, would there be a situation where Rabbi Meir, even if the width is more than 10 amos between the pasim, would he be allowed to drop the requirement to pshut him? And the answer is, if he extends the length of the dumadim by one amma, that means he's closing the gap and reducing it down to 10 amos, there's no need to add pshutim. Boy, me now, Abaye may Rabbah another question that Abaye addressed to Rabbah. And now we're in Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Yosef mishlosh tzvei amu shlish le Rabbi Yehuda, pshutim ovid, mau pshutim ovid, o bidyumodim marich. Same exact question Abaye asked in Rabbi Meir with regard to 10 amos. He now asks from Rabbah in Rabbi Yehuda's 13 and a third amma. And the question is, why did Abaye have to ask a double question and raise this as a question on Rabbi Yehuda in 13 and a third amma? So I'm going to read to you, again, we're very pressed for time, but if you have a little extra time, I apologize, the Agadah, it was a killer for me, but let's see what we can get here. He says, Mau, pshutim ovid, he's got to put pasim between the dumadim, because the distance now is more than 13 and a third amot, so he has to be memayit, he has to reduce the revach, the airspace, to less than 13 and a third amma, but he has to add pasim. Oh, well, perhaps bidyumodim marech. In other words, if he wants to reduce the pirtza, this airspace between the dumodim, to make sure it's less than 13 and a third amma, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not meaningful to add pasim, but rather he has to extend the dumodim. You know, it's, in Rabbi Meir, the question was, can we replace the need for pshutim by extending the dumadim? In Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, it was obvious that you would extend the dumadim. The question was, can you not extend the dumadim and instead have pshutim? Now, the reason for this and the inhibition or the hesitation of Abaye to allow, in Rabbi Yehuda's frame of reference, for pshutim, is because when you set up pshutim, you have airspace on both sides of those pasim pshutim. And if you remember, we discussed the avir of two sides is mevatel or mechitza. Amar le, Rabbah responds to nisua, kama hein mekuravin. What is the allowance for bringing the possum closer to the bear, kidei rosha v'ruba shel para, up to 2 amos away from the well, to allow for most of the head and the animal, the body of the animal, to go in there, because otherwise, if the animal can't fit in there, he might be tempted to feed the animal by carrying the water outside of the possum, and then he'd be motzi mirshus hayochid into rishus haram. V'kama meruchakim. And how much leniency do we allow for the dimodim to be far, far away from the bears? Afilu kur, afilu kurayim. It doesn't matter how large of a space and a distance it is. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Beis asayim, up to a beis asayim. But yosemi beis asayim also. So you cannot use pase beros to be makif an area that's larger in size than a beis asayim. Omru lo, the chacham say to Rabbi Yehuda, yatamode, bedir, sahar, umukta v'chotzer, shafilu bas hameshes korim, afilu asora kurim shemutar. In the case of a corral for an animal, and you set up mechitzos around the sada, so that the animals will come in there and they'll fertilize the ground by giving glolim, excrements, or sahar is a place that is surrounded by fences for the animals inside the city, mukta. Again, because deer, we said, was outside the city, out in the fields, and sahar is for the animals inside the city to make sure that the animals don't run away. Mukta, we said, was a rechava that's behind the houses, chotzer is the courtyard in front. And in all these cases, we can set up pase biros, if there's a well, as large of an area as possible. Amar lahem, so Rabbi Yehuda responds to the Chachamim, you're making an unfair equation or analogy. Zo mechitza v'elu pasim. In the case of deer, sar, muks, and chotzer, we're going to actually set up a full-fledged mechitza. But in the case of biros, what we're setting up is pasim. And pasim means each one is only 1 amma that's wide. And the open air and distance between one of the pasim on the right side and the other on the left is 13 1/3 amma, which is called parutz, merubala omed. We're not going to be matir more than a beis asayim. So now the Gemara goes back to its proof from this price of him, Isa, if you're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when the space between the dimodim is greater than the shear of 13 1/3 amma, we have to decrease that space by extending the dimodim, we're not going to allow for additional pasim, pshutim, then he shouldn't have said that the difference between pasi beros and the mechitzos for a deer, a sar, muktzah, and chotzer is because this is a mechitza and this is pasim. That doesn't make any sense, because he should have said zu mechitza v'zo mechitza miboyle, because even the pasim themselves are mechitzos, because we've expanded them from 1 amma beyond, depending upon what the shetach is and the distance is, but we're making them into real mechitzos. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar, this is what Rabbi Yehuda really meant. Zo toras mechitzo leha, u pirtzo seha bi eser amos, vi elu toras pasim oleh pirtzo seha bishlosh esrei amma ushlish. What he meant to say is that there's a difference between the mechitza that covers and surrounds those areas, because there the pirtza that will undermine the status of the mechitza is eser amos. And in such a case, even if the area that's being surrounded by these mechitzos is more than a beis asayim, you still have full-fledged mechitzos, because we have guaranteed that the opening, the pirtza between these mechitzos, is less than eser amos, which means it's not a pirtza at all, it's a pesah. But in the case of pasim, where the pirtza that we're allowing, according to our view, is 13 1/3 amma, that's a much greater pirtza, then we're talking about something other than real full-fledged mechitzos, and therefore we're only going to allow these mechitzos to be makif a hekef an area of Beis Hasayim, but not more than Beis Hasayim. Bo mine abai mi rabba tel hamislakit asor mitoch arba. Nido mishum diumad o eno nimod mishum diumad. We can have here a kind of an imaginary diumad, which means we have on one of the four corners around this bar, we have a tel, which is a mound, and it goes down from the top on all sides. And if you would draw a line from the ground straight up to within four amos of the outer lip of this tel, it would be ten tfachim high. So now what you have is a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because it has the height of 10 tfachim before you get 4 amos into the tel. That's a sugi in Shabbos Daf Kuf called Tel HaMislakit, and has the status of Rishus HaYachid. So it would seem intuitively that certainly if you set up a Rishus HaYachid Mamish on the fourth corner, that should certainly substitute for a Diomed. But the Gemara thinks, no, that Diomed has to be Heker. It has to be something that's obvious that it was placed there for the purpose of serving as a Mechitza. But here, you don't see it as such. It's not obvious to the onlooker that you're talking about something that was set up as a Mechitza. Can it nevertheless serve as the fourth Diomed? Omer Le Rabba responded to Nisua. We learned this in a Braisa. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Hoysa Shom Evan Mirubas. Let's say in one of the four corners, he has a square stone. Is Roen Osa, we have to emphasize the word Roen here, means we can imagine, Kol Shiyu Techolek, that if you were to scrape off some of the inside areas, Yeshba Amalekan V'Amalekan, you would still end up with a kind of a 90 degree resh or L, whatever you want to call it, in the Evan. It's Nidon Mishum Diomed, and we consider it like a Diomed, and that's called Ke'ilu Techolek. Techolek in Hebrew is Sheyitlu Mi'ovya Hapnimi. You know, if it was this, as if to say you would empty out the inside of this square stone, and you'd end up with an Amalekan. So you sort of like imagine erasing the middle area, and you're left with an L-shaped. But v'imlav eino nido mishum diomad. If you were to cut out the middle, you're still not left with an am on each side. Then it's not a diomad. Rabbi Yishmael ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Hoysa Shom Evan Agula. What happens if it's a round stone? Now, in the case of a round stone, we have to do a double rowin. Not one rowin, but a double rowin. First of all, we're going to need a rowin ki'ilu, called ki'ilu techakek. And then we're going to need a techolek. And the question is, do we have machlokas tanoim, whether we're going to do a double rowin. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, in the case of Agula, is Rowan, we have a double Rowan, Kol She'ilu Techakek. In other words, if you take off the blitos of the round circle, so that you make it into a square, and you equalize the Orech and the Rochav, and not only that, but Rowan Techolek, right, we're going to carve out the insides, as we said, and what are we left with? Yeshba amalekan v'amalekan nido mishum diomed v'imlav enu nido mishum diomed. And the Chachamim did not go as far as to qualify and upgrade the status of this diomed in the case of the round stone. The Ma'akom Miflugi, because Mar Sov Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that Rowan is Chad Rowan, Amrin, and Trey Rowan. We're not going to apply a double Rowan here in the case of Agula, which means both Techolek and Techakek.
Whereas Maris of Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rokum holds Afilu Trei Roim Nami Aminu. We're even willing to say twice Roim Ki'ilu, to be Machshe, this stone that's round. And the tail is basically like this Evan Agula, and it would depend upon this Machlokus Tanoim. Boimine Abayimi Rabba Chitzas Hakonim Kona Kona Pochos Mishlosha Nidon Mishum Diomed Olav. So now you have vertical poles, you know, small poles, and between each pole there is less than an airspace of 3 tefachim, so we could apply lavud. And the Gemara has 2 tzadim, we make it with such a mechitza grua, which is only shasi, that means vertical up and down without erev, or were they only matir a mechitza, which is both shasi and erev? Amalei, so Rabbi responds to Abai, tenisua. This din can be derived from a brice, and the brice says, "Hoisa sham ilon o goder o chitza sakonim nido mishum diomet." So if you have either a tree or a goder always means it's made of stones, or chitza sakonim, which is your case, Abai, of these poles that go up and down vertically, one next to the other, with less than a 3 tefachim space, is nido mishum diomet. My love, shouldn't we assume that chitza sakonim is kana kana pachas mishlosha? The Gemara says, lo, that's not what the Brice has in mind, but rather the Brice has in mind gudrisa dekani, which is a group of reeds that go up and down, but on the bottom they are connected to each other. And only above 3 tefachim from the ground do they separate and split in all the different directions. And that's called the diomet. But in the case of mechitzas hakonim, where you have individual reeds that are not connected to each other, and they stand up from the ground with a space between them, that's a lower level mechitza. There's nothing connecting the various konim together. Ihochi anu ilon. Isn't that exactly the case of an ilon? If chitzas hakonim is konim mechubarim, that's exactly what an ilon is. An ilon is obviously connected on the bottom with the branches that go out in each direction on top. Elamai, we're going to say that kona kona pochus mishlosh ainu goder, then you're going to have to say that chitza konim means kona kona pochus mishlosh, and then it becomes a goder. Elamai Islam Memar Treg Gavni Goder is Okanami Treg Gavni Ilon. Ikud the Amri Gudrisa de Kani Kami Boile. That the suffix of Abai to Rava was the case of Gudrisa de Kani. So Abai's question to Rava was Chitza Sakon of partition of reeds, and he shapes them into a double post like the Dumodim, with each reed that's less than 3 tefachim from each other. Is it a diomet or is it not? And Rabbah quoted a brisa to prove it. The brisa says if there's a tree, a fence, a partition of reeds, then it's considered like a diomet. And don't we assume that this is a row of reeds, each reed is less than 3 tefachim from the next one? So the Gemara answers, no, gudrisa dekani. We're talking about a hedge of reeds, and these are reeds that sprout up from a common trunk on the bottom of the ground, on the ground, and the branches separate and diverge, and it looks like separate reeds. So the Gemara says, "Hainu Elon." Isn't that exactly the case of a tree mentioned also in the Brice? So why would the Brice have to mention Chitza Sakonim as addition to Elon? But rather, so what are you telling me as an alternative explanation? That it's a row of reeds in which each reed is less than 3 tefach from the next one. Hainu goder. That should be the same as a fence mentioned in the Brice. There's no need to mention this either. Unless you're going to tell me that the Brice is listing 2 different forms of fences. A proper fence and a fence of reeds. and they're two distinct types, and therefore the Braisa mentions both of them, even though they belong basically to the same category, is Hachinami, according to that explanation, I could apply the same logic, Trei Gavni Ilan, the two distinct forms of a tree, an ordinary tree, and a hedge of reeds. So the possibility exists that this Braisa is referring to a hedge of reeds, and therefore it cannot be proven from here that a row of reeds in the shape of Dumadim is valid. And according to the second version, the question that Abaye asked Rabba was about Gudrisa Dekani, a hedge of reeds. And Gudrisa Dekani Mai, can it serve as a diomed? Amalei, so Rabba answered to Nisua, the Braisa says, Oishasham Goder, O Ilon, O Chitza Sakonim, Nido Mishum Diomed, my love, Gudrisa Dekani. Doesn't this refer to a hedge of reeds? So we see the Braisa validates it as a diomed lo. Kana kana pachas mishlosha. It's referring to a row of reeds in which they arrange it such that each reed is less than 3 tefach from the next one. I hachi, the Gemara asks, hainu gader. Then it's the same as a fence. Elamai. So what are you going to say? That gudrisa dekani hainu ilan. It's the same as the tree. So there's no reason for the Braisa to mention it. What are you going to say? Here we go on to Chaf Amid Aleph. Trei Gavni Ilan. There are two forms of trees. There's an ordinary tree and a hedge of reeds. It's Hachinami. Trei Gavni Goder. We can also say the Braisa is referring to two forms of fences, a proper fence and a fence of reeds. And since they're two distinct forms, the Braisa mentions both of them, even though fundamentally they belong to the same category. And this leads us to Boi Minei Abaye Miraba, which is on the second line on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. Let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbat.